we are thankful you are here. Let there be light. We are thankful that you are here as we continue our Christmas series, The Light Has Come. And we're celebrating that because we like to have fun at church with Christmas PJs Sunday. So since you got to wear your Christmas PJs today, so you got to literally roll out of bed, come to church if you wanted to. If not, you missed out. It could have been one of those days that you could have joined us with that. Maybe you're watching at home in your Christmas PJs. We're thankful you are. Have two people say it to you too. How about that? We're going to change it up. You're going to have two people say to you, God wants to give you joy. Come on, tell them, God wants to give you joy. God wants to give you joy. See? Yeah, boy, there we go. God wants to give you joy. And you, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Anyway, wherever you are, we want you to know that God wants to give you joy. And sometimes for us, that is something we can struggle with, and this, as we're going to learn today, because sometimes we struggle with joy because of the darkness that we find ourselves in. And so really, I want us to just think for a moment today, because we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it's called the Western Catechism. You and I are created to give God glory and enjoy him. And that's something that can be really hard at times when we're struggling, can it? Like, we're in the season of darkness. I don't really enjoy God. I would say, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, like, I want to be in his presence. I want to be with him, but I don't enjoy him making me walk through that valley. Just like if you're ever training for anything, anybody, as we've had some, you're going through physical therapy for anything, you go through things, you don't enjoy that. You shouldn't. I know that sounds crazy. You feel better after. It gives you range of motion. But just like when you work out, or just like I think back in playing sports growing up when I would go to practice, like, it's supposed to be hard. And then you start to find joy in pushing yourself to be better, but it ain't easy in the moment. And so it made me think, now that we've got the hard stuff out of the way, I want you to think about something. What was your, like, favorite Christmas tree or Christmas tree ornament? Like, get that in your brain. You may have multiple ones. You may even have that tree up right now. It may be a picture, whatever that is. And I want you to think about what you loved about it the most, and I want you to think about the emotion that you had with it. And most likely it was joy. Now, joy is bigger than emotion, so just hear me out. What you probably felt most was joy, and now that you have it, did you keep that to yourself or did you share it with someone? You wanted to share it. You shared it because the reason you shared it is because it gave you joy. And the truth of the matter is, this time of year, the world will try to distort the joy that Jesus wants to give you and wrap it in something other than what Jesus is, and try to make you unwrap a gift other than what Jesus is. But the truth of the matter is, this time of year, joy is the thing that we want to share with everyone. And that's what we're going to have and walk through today as we learn through joy for all people. Joy for all people. So, really quick, let's give Webster's definition of joy here. There's two parts of it. That joy as a noun is the emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. That's as a noun. But most of us know joy as a verb. Joy as a verb is this. Joy as a verb says to experience great pleasure or delight, right? Great pleasure or delight. Now, really quickly, church, do you hear me say, did I say happiness anywhere in there? So happiness isn't found in the definition of joy, yet so many times we equate happiness with joy, and so we wonder why our joy is fleeting when we were really walking in happiness, not joy itself, that is not circumstantial. And so, church, what we get to share with everyone in the world as we have Jesus Christ is we share his joy, not just happiness that flees. Happiness is when everybody wakes up on Christmas morning. They get their Christmas PJs, they're rocking everything, and the gifts aren't opened yet. That's happiness. What happens about 5 minutes later? It's broken. It says, I'm done. Is that all? Like, is that all? You've got 30 gifts, kid. What do you mean, is that all? Like, is that all? Is that all Santa brought me? What in the world? Or is it even worse than that? It's the batteries didn't come on. Like, used to love saying that phrase all the time in retail world, right? And so it's, well, you've got more gifts at grandma's, right? Like, you got a bribe with more kids, more happiness, more gifts. And that's happiness, not joy. Joy is not circumstantial. It transcends happiness. That is an emotion. So that's the perspective I want us to have today. We're going to start in the same verse we've been starting all the way through the series. We'll be in Isaiah 9:2. We're going to skip a little bit past the birth of Jesus today in Luke chapter 2 in just a minute for a few verses as we talk about joy for all people. If you got your Bible, you can go ahead and get there as always. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you have one free for the asking in the back. A lot of folks like to do things digitally. You can follow along with us on our Vine Church app. And Zach Candler and our Vine Production team, even when he's not physically here, and they are physically up there doing a great job, our Vine Production team, we'll make sure wherever you're watching around the world, thank you, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, that the scripture's on the screen for you. So whether you're at Isaiah 9:2, or you're Luke 2, or you're just watching on the screen in the house of the Lord, if you are ready to receive the word that the Lord has for you, give me an amen. Amen is what God's people said. So Lord, we are ready to receive it. It says this in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This light, this Jesus being the light of all mankind, giving us life, coming and penetrating the dark, stepping into the dark. And we may think Christmas is the only time it happens, but if we're reminded, it isn't. In Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void and formless, and darkness covered the land. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, let there be light. Boom. That's Jesus. There was light. And he saw that the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. But you see, in Genesis 3, sin enters in. And all of a sudden, when sin enters in, we've got a darkness in the land. And Jesus comes again at Christmas. And he, before he is there, he says, what is it in Mark 15, if I remember right, but he says it all the way through. He says, I'm the light of the world, right? Jesus reminds us of John 8, 2, I'm the light of the world. So he comes in the darkness as well. Mark 15 is when he was on the cross and there was darkness over the land when he pays the penalty for our sins. Then he rises again and his light now shines through you and I until he returns, and Revelation 22 reminds us that he will be our light forevermore. Isn't it just great? I don't know if you like to watch the sunrise. I like to watch the sunrise. It's one of those things that's just a nice thing, calming thing. Maybe you're like, my alarm doesn't wake me up that early. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There are morning people and night people. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you like the sunset. All of us would say we like to see the sun, right? We enjoy the light. Just imagine when you don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be Motel 6. It's better than that. Is that even around anymore? Everything's closing down we grew up with, so I don't know. Maybe it's Motel 12. Who knows? I don't, whatever it is. You don't have to worry about a light being left on for you, because God's going to be our light. Jesus is going to be our light. That's what Christmas celebrates. So before we get to Luke chapter 2, I want to remind us of what we are doing each and every year at this time. At this time every year, two Sundays before Christmas. Sometimes it's the first Sunday of Christmas, sometimes it's the second, but it's always two Sundays before Christmas. We have what's called our Heart for the House Sowing Day. And the reason we do this is we want to be God's light to the ends of the earth. It's what we are called to do, is be his light, right, church? And so every year you grew up, maybe you had what was called a Christmas offering. When I grew up, it was Lottie Moon. We always did at mission work at this time of the year. But we do mission work as well. It's just not called a Lottie Moon offering. So let me tell you kind of what we do. This year, we're kind of doing something special. We're working on some Christmas projects inside of our Vine fam that we are working on that you can give to for our Heart for the House offering. If you would like to give to those inside of our Vine fam, you can denote that on your on whatever gift you are willing to give for that, for the Heart for the House offering. And once we are able to help with those projects, the leftover this year, or the abundance this year, unless you denote these ministries on your check as well, or you can write it on an envelope, shoot me an email, it doesn't matter, whatever you want to say. I'm not going to be mad at you, however you want to do it, will be how we support throughout the year this Heart for the House. This Heart for the House, it means that we are supposed to call a heart for a house. It's funny, in our Bible reading plan, we were in Haggai just the other day, and it talked about the heart for the house. I think it's Haggai 2 talks about that. And so our heart for the house of the Lord is so that he gets the glory and fame to share his light. So what do I mean by that? Well, we can't say that we are against abortion if we don't support young mothers who are struggling with that decision. If we don't support foster families who are trying to figure out what to do and leave children just to fend for themselves. And so as a church, we give here at the YMCA every year throughout the year. We give a little extra at this time of year to their annual campaign. And what their annual campaign does is it helps children who can't afford to go to camp or after school or sports programs. And what that does is it gives them scholarships, so they get to do it for free. It gets to help mom and dad who are trying to figure out, I can't afford for my kid to play sports. So they get to play recreational sports here. They have after-school programs. The best thing they do here, they teach them how to swim. Drowning prevention is one of the number one things to help your child, because it's the number one accidental death, I believe, for children that are in school, is they just don't know how to swim. They do that here, and that covers that. Also, we throughout the year, we give to the Carolina Pregnancy Center, who meet women right where they are, who are in that decision about whether they should keep this baby or not. Now, it's not up to us whether they make that decision or not, but we know that the sanctity of life begins at conception. And so we want to help them understand that God has a plan and a purpose for that child. And so we want to help them walk through that. And so we get to give there. Also, we give this time of year specifically to the Hope Center for Children that helps foster children. It's literally right across, not across the street, but not far. It's on Hudson Barksdale. And what they specialize with foster children is, I think it's like 15 or 16 foster children age out of foster care because they're technically an adult. Even though we know as a 16-year-old, we swore to mom and dad we were adult, and we didn't have a clue because we weren't an adult. And so they have housing for those children who are there. They have housing for all age groups, and they have houses throughout, homes throughout that help the children in foster care. But their main focus, really, their big focus that we help them with is they help children who are aging out of foster care have a safe home to be in, not be on the streets, get through school, and start into college somewhere. So that's why we give to them. So I'm telling you all these ministries, specifically our Heart for the House this time of year, goes to that, a little bit of overflow, because we give to the Carolina Pregnancy Center, the YMCA throughout the year. Give a little bit extra this time of year to the Y, but also, you know, we just did Samaritan's Purse. We helped children there. So we were helping the orphan and the poor. Now, we can't say, you and I, that we are for the prisoner if we don't support them either. So we've been blessed to jumpstart throughout the year. So we want to meet prisoners right where they are. They help with recidivism. They help literally people who are in chains of sin thinking they're in chains of incarceration and breaking free of that. And I don't mean jailbreak. I don't mean Sean Connery coming in, welcome to the rock. I mean, like, for them, they meet the rock. That is Jesus Christ. So we like to support them. So if you would like to support them specifically this year, write that on your check. We would like to maybe give them a little extra this time of year. But also, we can't say that we are against poverty as a church if we don't help those who are poor and homeless. And so we help Invisible Ministries this time of year. We try to do a little extra to them too. Who they literally go out to the street, feed them, meet people right where they are, and instead of just giving them bread, they give them the bread of life. And so we love to do that as a church. So this year, the special thing is we're helping those in the church, and then the extra will go to those ministries unless you specifically denote that for our Heart for the House offering. So everybody clear on all of that? Makes sense? So if you didn't join us a little bit earlier, we always celebrate what we've been able to sow into global missions. We celebrate it every time if you come hang out with us. Usually it's after the first worship song because you're catching your breath from being in the presence of the Lord. You got to just take a breath for a minute. Somebody comes up here and rambles. Usually it's me. And then you get back into the throne room of the Lord. But we celebrate that throughout, since we've launched in 2017, we've got to see almost $369,905 going to global missions. And this is part of it. And the reason that matters is for us is we trust Jesus. We know that he can do more with our dollar and given in faith than $1 billion in our bank account. We just believe that. And so we want to continue to be his light to the ends of the earth. So that is Heart for the House. That is how we share God's light, but also how we share his joy with all people. And let's go now and look to somebody that we probably in this season can connect with more than ever. So Luke chapter 2, Jesus has already been born. Mary's already laid him in swaddling clothes. And she's just like, you know, Jesus, never mind, I won't say those things. But like, just think about that. You had to change God's diaper. Hey, you know, like, guys, sometimes when you're doing, you know, you got things, like, just think of what that was like. It was a God-sized poop. You're welcome. So forgive me. Just think about that. And then did Jesus like have a little cynicism with him? Like, was he just like, watch this? yeah, you think I'm going to ride that donkey with you? Like, just think of the fun that Jesus had with them. So, that being said, Mary has pondered those things. We'll get there. But now we've gone past that. We'll go back to that a little bit next week. We're going to go to where the shepherds find out about Jesus and learn about this joy for all people. So, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15 says this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Everybody, come on, if you grew up in church, it was over their flocks by night. But anyway, we won't open that. KJV, NKJV, tough crowd. We'll get there. I'm aging out. It's okay. it is what it is. Verse 9, an angel, pay attention to that. One angel first. This is beautiful. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Lewis, what did you do to my tree? That was the exact same sound. If you missed it, there was a rushing wind. I hope the Holy Spirit coming over this place, because it certainly wasn't me. So Holy Spirit, take over. It says, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. You heard glad tidings of great joy for all people. I know, in your brain, it's okay. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So just imagine where you are. So these shepherds are, just a reminder, they're the dregs of society. They're uneducated. They're considered ceremonially unclean. They can't go in the temple unless they have stepped out of watching sheep for 7 days. Unless they've washed themselves. Unless the priest says they're clean. They're unclean. They're just almost as bad as lepers. Outcast, rejected, forgotten. Makes me think a lot of times of truck drivers, where you have to realize that everything you touch, a truck driver has touched and brought to you. Just often missed. But often what happens when you think of a truck driver, you just don't think outside of Smokey and the Bandit, you don't have a really good idea of a good looking, like a good thinking, a hard working truck driver. But many of them work very, very hard. So they are outside there. Believe it or not, these shepherds are still out there. They're called Bedouins. They're still outside of Israel now. They're set up in tents. They're nomads. They don't have any place to stay. They roam. And instead of God appearing, he appears to Zechariah. Remember, the angel does for John the Baptist to be born. The angel appears to Mary and Joseph for Jesus. So instead of going to King Herod, instead of going to one of the high priests at this time, he goes to shepherds. The marginalized, the rejected, the lonely, the desperate, those that are in darkness. Because it wasn't in the daytime those angels appeared, it was at night. So oftentimes in our walk, sometimes we think the darkness has no purpose. We think the darkness has no cause. But what if it's the thing, that darkness is the thing to wake you up to the truth of God? Just imagine if just one shepherd saw that. Because see, the shepherds had to stay together. They had to travel in groups. Like, think of it as like a modern day cowboy, and they've got like a cattle drive. Not city slickers, don't go there. But like, think of it like a modern day cattle drive. Like, if somebody came up to you and be like, hey, there's an angel out here saying that there's the Messiah has been born. You're just going to be like, dude, did you get in the brownies? Like, you know what I mean? Was there something special? And then all of a sudden, all of them were seen. Now, what I love about this is the shepherds are the ones that believe, but do you think that it was just the shepherds that saw those angels? Because I don't. I think they filled the sky. But they were the ones enough to have faith to go share it and find out about it. Maybe you're in the midst of your darkness so that the Lord can show his light through you so that you can share it with others. You know, we don't like to believe that in our season so many times, do we? You want to know the cool thing about those shepherds? It's believed, can't prove it, But it's believed they were shepherding what would be the Passover lamb when Jesus was born. Why does that matter? Remember, every year on the Day of Atonement, there's a Passover lamb that comes, and it takes all, and they have the scapegoat, takes all the sins of the people, they send it out. But this Passover lamb's important because, remember, that's where the blood on the door comes over, and death passes over you, and the Lord saves and rescues you. But what do? They leave the old system of sacrifice when Jesus is born, leave the Passover lamb to go to the real Passover lamb, who will be an atoning, eternal sacrifice for us. There's so many things that's beautiful in the Word of God that shows that Jesus has ushered in a new kingdom. So why in the world do they go up to the shepherds? What does that mean for you and I today? Can we admit we probably have a joy problem in our world? Like I think we all do. I have a joy problem. We all have a joy problem. We all desire joy and chase happiness. This joy itself, as we just learned a little bit ago, the verb is to experience what? Ultimate pleasure or great pleasure and delight. The noun is an emotion evoked by well-being, success, that's the one we love, or good fortune. Even better, we keep opening those cookies, hoping that it gives us the right number, right? Or the prospect of possessing what one desires. Advertising is built upon this, upon your joy. This time of the year, open joy! $700 was $400, right? Like it was $8,000 on sale for $79.99, right? Like, you know, one of those things, right? Order this, you'll get it after Christmas. All of these things, it will try to sell joy. Believe it or not, what's even crazier is this little thing. You know, we love people love to rack on cigarette smokers all the time. It's funny, this thing's the same size as a pack of cigarettes. I ain't against them, I'm just saying. They're great tools, but you know what? Believe it or not, advertisers know you so much that the light that this produces releases dopamine in your brain. It's called the joy drug. So it makes you want to do it more. The social media, all of it is geared toward you seeking it more. Because you're seeking joy, but you're only finding happiness. You got one more reel, one more this, one more that. For me, I'm Terrell Latta. One more thing of dad jokes. It's got to happen. There's something happening. Everyone will laugh. I told my brother-in-law, Tim, last night we were loading in. I saw one. Somebody had decorated their house, and it'll make sense in a minute. They had decorated their house outside. It was all Christmas decorations. You know how people do, like, music to lights? You'll find it online a little bit. And the reason I know this is because I'm saying it, your phone listens. So it'll show up as a reel here in just a little bit, or it'll show up. Just trust me. It will. But it's like it's set to all Linkin Park songs. Like, it brings me all the way back to high school. And it's like the Christmas thing. It's like, I come so far and got the, like, and it's just like the little Christmas tree singing it and like all the things. I mean, it's great. So take that, Trans-Siberian. I'm just saying. It is what it is. So I almost texted it to my sister to say, I might actually decorate my house outside after all this year, because I saw that. Somebody spent a boat ton of money on that. But I'm just saying, for that, the reason we like that is it can bring us joy. That can be something that brings us joy. So when you have that, I hope it doesn't really give you joy. It's just going to give you some happiness. But I hope that you find joy. Know that that's how these things work, and they're marketed that way. And it made me think about us. It made me think about me. How many times I feel like I'm the shepherd in the middle of the darkness. And I forget that God hasn't forgotten me. And that God wants to give me joy. That is what Christmas is all about. And yet, it makes me think of how many times I keep trying to chase the perfect Christmas, don't I? Maybe you're there too. Everything's got to be just right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you, I found so many times when that happens, I'm chasing an idea or something in my life that has already passed away, like the old sacrificial system. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means that am I chasing that, or am I chasing Jesus and his joy? That's a tough question, because you know what? You can only answer that for you, and I can only answer that for me. You can fake it all day long and make me believe that. And I can try my best to fake it until I can't anymore. And so for you, I just want to say, maybe you're like that. And we'll see, we'll talk about it in a minute. The world will deceive us that way and make us think that we got to have a bigger tree. We We've got to have a bigger gathering this year. It's got to be a bigger family event or more events. And I don't know about you, I can tell I'm getting old and curmudgeon. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm so thankful that we take a Stowers gathering for a moment just to take a breath. But also, like, how filled is your calendar in December? Everybody wants to do something, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm terrible, I'm a bad person, I'm getting old, but I'm like, there's 11 other months out of the year. We could have got together in July. I'm not trying to be mean. Like, there's nothing, I know everybody's looking at me like, man, that's wrong. But I'm being real. Like, everybody wants to have their thing, and it's just like you go from one party to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and you're just exhausted. It doesn't mean that you don't have fun. Doesn't mean that it ain't fun. It just means like, man, oh man, like, I can't even enjoy it. Like, oh, I got to go to the next thing. I just got to go to the, oh, yeast rolls are out of running. I got to go to this one. I got to go to this board event. I got to go to this thing. I got to this thing. I got to this thing. And you're just like, good night. Yeah, it just keeps adding on. And then every year I'm like, I'm not going to do that next year. And then I'm like, crap, I did it again. Yeah. Like the prophet Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. So that being said, pray for me. We need that. We needed that prayer. You're welcome in the house of the Lord. Y'all need to pray for me. So that being said, what if all these things that we think are going to bring us joy just point us to Jesus? Because that's what creation does. It points each and every one of us to Jesus. See, this first Christmas that we talk about, it wasn't about the gifts or our nativity scene, was it? It was about Luke 2:10, bringing great joy for all people. To imply that great joy was needed for all people when Jesus came, it must have meant it was pretty bad, right? Before he did. See, you and I live on this side of the cross. We take that for granted. We talk about how bad the world is and how evil the world is. And it is, the world is, but the thing is, the world's always been bad. It's always been evil. Why we need Jesus. But for it to be so bad that God rips the fabric of time to step straight down into darkness again must mean that something important is happening. Why? Because God wanted you and I to experience the ultimate joy of him for the maximum amount of time. That's why when Paul writes in Romans where God is withholding his wrath, he's withholding it. So that all may come to know him as Lord and Savior. He wants all of us to experience his joy. It's not something that we can earn or dress our way up for, or memorize enough scripture for, or sing enough songs for, or go to enough events for, or serve enough soup kitchens for. It can't happen that way. We can only believe. But if I'm honest, as I've said all the way through, the reason that I struggle with my joy is because I find myself, even as a Christian, in the midst of the darkness. And I think I'm all by myself. Because here's the truth. Just like I said, the shepherds weren't the only one that saw those angels. Do you think it was dark anywhere else? How about that cave that Jesus was born in? You think it had light in there? Did they just flip a switch? You think Joseph went outside to take a break and be like, oh, that baby's got some God-sized lungs. That cry's killing me. I don't know. Like, God, I'm going to kill this kid. And then all of a sudden, thunder. I'm just kidding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you say that one more time, boy, like, it's just like,
this is my son whom I'm well pleased.
Like, you know, don't you know Jesus is a jokester? They had to do that. God had to do that. Like, there had to be some moments that happened. Like, God, just please let me get some sleep. And Jesus was like, that's me. And he just kept crying. Like, you know, you got to have some fun. But the truth of the matter is, all of us are in the darkness. And that darkness of this world will try to rob us of the joy that we have. It had robbed those shepherds of the joy they had until those angels showed up. All of a sudden they caught it, and faith, they went immediately to share it. See, Christmas is about that. It's about this joy that transcends our darkness. Psalm 35 reminds us that weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning, church? Joy. See, you didn't know you knew Bible verses, but you do. Isn't it funny if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's written on your hearts? But you know the thing that the enemy will not make me believe? The joy comes in the morning, which is why I like to see the sunrise. Yes, his mercies are new every morning. But man, that gives me joy. And then I get 1,700 text messages and I get mad again. And I'm just like, Jesus, I just lost it. Like, maybe that's where you are. See, this world will make you chase joy. The problem with the worldview that we have and the world that we live in is we have given God a bad name. We've given him a bad name, right? In the world, if you ask culture what God is, he's judgmental, he's angry, he's unloving. God is like he's holding a magnifying glass and you're an ant. Or you're a frog and God's slowly boiling you alive. He's just trying to catch you doing something wrong. There's no way that he wants you to have joy. There's no way that he wants you to have love. This is what our culture believes. You know why? Because God's a stiff. I can't live the way I want to with God. I can't do what I want to do with God. He's going to restrict my joy. Even the worldviews that fight Christianity the most, to the atheist, God is joyless. To the atheist, God is darkness. To the atheist, they believe that God is unjust. They believe that for them, they believe that if God is real, then evil should not exist. And one of my favorite authors to quote when you're walking through anyone who struggled with atheism, C.S. Lewis talks about that. He has some great books on that. Mere Christianity is one that's really great. You could all kind of things, but long story short, he went out to prove God was not real until he realized that there was evil in the world. He realized there was injustice in the world. And he said, how in the world can I compare that to true justice? Here's the example I always love to give. And this is bad because I gave a good Lion King reference last week and this isn't one. But when a lion kills a gazelle, does it have remorse? No, it just has dinner, right? Like it's not... It has no remorse. Yet when you and I kill another human, do we? Even if they quote unquote deserved it, why is that? Nothing else on the planet has that. Nothing. Because there's a longing for something. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. There's a longing for justice. There's a pushing back of injustice. So to the atheist today, maybe that's what you need to understand, because only a just God can make things right. He ain't fair. He's never been fair. He doesn't promise to be fair. He does promise to be just. And I don't know about you, I want a just God. I don't want to go before a judge that's fair. I want to go before a judge that administers justice correctly. And the justice I deserve for my sin is death. But his son steps in and says, you know what? I've already paid it for him. I want that just God, because you know what? I get to walk free from that. But a fair God says, well, even though he died for your sins, you still did this after you trusted him as Lord and Savior. You did this, you did this, you did this. So you ain't going to get in. No, no, no. I want a just God. Maybe you're in the New Age spiritualism. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. I need that. I just hurt something probably. I need to go see a chiropractor. I broke a disc. To New Age spiritualism, maybe where you would say if God is real, there is no suffering. Not that the evil doesn't exist. To New Age spiritualism, you think you are literally living in I think, therefore I am. Now, I'm not saying that there are people that go through things and you can't have maybe, you know, speak. If you're doing meditations and things, speak Bible verses over yourself. Like, we don't buy in the prosperity gospel. Don't be standing there saying, I'm rich. I think I'm rich, so I'm rich. No, you're just as broke as I am. You can think it all day long. It don't matter. We all broke. Like, there ain't nothing. I'm smart. I think I'm smart, therefore I'm smart. All right, well, let's do this. Integrate this equation for me. Okay, you're not smart. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. It is what it is. Let's undo this. Let's talk about this for a minute. You know, I think I'm a gazelle. The lion's coming. Watch out. Like, I'm just kidding. Mufasa. No, I'm just kidding. That's wrong. Like, you can't do that. Don't think that. Don't do that. So for New Age spiritualism, the fallacy of that is it leaves you stuck in an alternate reality, in a fantasy world. This is the world we live in. I'm a cat, so I got to have litter boxes in an elementary school bathroom. Like, are you kidding me? I'm not trying to be mean. Parents, if that's you, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Come to church. Let's talk about it. I'm just saying, God has so much more in store for your child than that. I'm going to promise you that. Don't mean that you can't dress as a cat at Halloween. Don't mean you can do that. I'm just saying, if you're going to meet meow, and I'm going to tell you one thing, if you're going to go pee and poop in that litter box, then you better figure out clean it up, because it is what it is. Just saying. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. For me, that's it. You're going to dry heave a hairball, we're going to have even bigger problems. So I'm going to leave it at that to say the fallacy of both of those is it leaves us joyless, and it leaves us in the darkness. See, Christianity recognizes the existence of good and evil, and it does something about it. Jesus does something about it. He reconciles it through himself, because of Christmas, Easter, takes place for you and I. God breaks through the fabric of time and solves this problem of darkness that we had, just like he did in Genesis 1. And just like he will eternally as our light. Wherever you are right now, what God is telling you is wherever you are in the darkness, if you are searching for joy, God doesn't say step back from it. Instead, he says step into the light. That is Christ, to experience this joy, because it solves the joy problem you and I have through Christ Jesus. I talked about my man C.S. Lewis, so it made me think about our Christmas PJs today. C.S. Lewis says that joy is the business of heaven, which is why I like to have fun at church, because I'm going to be honest with you. If you think heaven's not going to be fun and we're all going to be dressed, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm just going to place it to you right now. But I don't think we're all going to be in gleaming white robes out there singing worship songs off key at times, you know? You'd be like, Marge is off again. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what it is. You know, and there's a choir director, tap, 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 tap. Just looking at you, giving you the scowl. Because if that's the case, I know I'm sitting in the pew and somebody's giving me my mom's giving me the evil eye, because I'm probably getting in trouble somewhere. I don't believe that. I believe that heaven's going to be so much more. I believe that the things that God's preparing us for here will carry into heaven. And that is including the joy. So why do we wear these Christmas PJs? Because on Christmas, you usually wear these PJs either the night before or the day of, right? How do you bribe your kids to put these PJs on? Parents know. A gift, right? I'm getting something. Yeah, I wear that. That's not what you've got. That's not how any of this works. That's not. I wear that. But when you think about your kid and their PJs, it probably has something that brings them happiness or joy on it, right? Maybe it's a superhero. Maybe it's a cartoon character. Maybe it's one of those things. And all of us will spend our entire life trying to chase that thing that may bring us joy. I'm not telling you that you got to have Jesus on your kids' Christmas PJs. So hear me out. I'm not rolling that on you. But what I am saying is all of us will always chase the thing that we think will bring us the joy. And we have to be reminded that Christmas is about God's heart for his children, loving them enough to send his only child so that all of his children could come home. Because God wants to give you joy, ultimate joy, for the maximum amount of time. You and I who are in Christ, we wear these Christmas PJs. It's called Advent season, because we look forward to his return. Others in this world, you're wearing your Christmas PJs. You're hoping you're Spider-Man, you're Superman, you're Avengers, you're Puppy Pals, whatever it's, whatever, you're Barney. Not even a thing anymore. Barney, your Sesame Street, your Bluey, your Chewy. I don't know. Whatever they are, Huey, Louie, and Dot. I don't. Whatever they are, whatever those are, you'll spend your entire life thinking that that thing's going to bring you joy, only to find out it won't. Only to find out it can't. It'll never satisfy. It never fits right, and those things always let you down. Like they're bigger than life as a child, but then you get older and you realize, man, that thing. It makes me laugh, but it didn't last long past the 30 minutes. The Christmas reminds us that the only joy that can only be found through Christ isn't in anything under the tree, but in him who hung on the tree for us. The only way we can open that gift that is Jesus Christ and his salvation is through faith, just like those shepherds had. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12:2 reminds us of this, that you and I are called to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What does it say, church? For the what? Joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looked with joy to the cross so that you and I could come home through faith in him. That's the joy we share as Christians, and maybe today you're realizing for the first time that Jesus is the ultimate gift of joy. I remind you, this joy isn't earned. This joy isn't worked for. This joy isn't a Bible verse memorized, a prayer memorized, a worship song sang. It's faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do each and every week is so that those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior can come home for the first time and experience his ultimate joy that transcends all circumstances, to experience his freedom. Because you and I are born with Christmas PJs of sin. And that sin has separated us from an almighty God and his joy. And there's nothing we can do to get into his presence. It requires something to come for us. That is Jesus, his only son, to be righteous for us. Jesus lives the perfect sinless life, allowing us to be clothed in his righteousness with new PJs that are eternal, that never spoil, that never fade. Not only does he live the perfect sinless life, you see, to be in the presence of God and experience his joy, something had to die. And so Jesus goes and he dies for us, paying the penalty for our sins once and for all, being our eternal atoning sacrifice. We don't have to worry about whether we have to bring a certain sacrifice to the Lord anymore or go to a certain place to meet the Lord. We can now meet him right where we are, because after 3 days in that tomb, Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can have life and have it to the full. We now get to be in eternal communion with God without shame, without fear, without regret, because we get to stand before him clothed in Christ, forgiven of our sins, walking fully in who he created us to be. So we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that will save you. It's the faith of it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to repeat the words of this prayer of faith out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you've given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have confessed of your sin, repented of your sin just now, and trusted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three, whether you're watching online or in the house. If for the first time you've done that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you've done that for the first time, if you're watching online, you can let us know. You can shoot up a hand, or you can shoot us a message throughout all of our platforms of social media, or you can email us at hello@divine.tv, or you can reach out to us in our app. We'd love to celebrate this decision with you, because how you stay and continue to grow in the Lord to be all that you were created to be is to get in a local church near you, and we want to help you do that. We'd love to invite you here to be a part of our church, but also if you're watching around the world, we have folks who do that all the time. We would love to find and help you find a local church near you. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up and you can stand up, because I want us to do something as we get ready to go in this moment of praise. I want us to, for real, we were having issues with the alarm today. I can say this, and the cops had to come. You know, it was crazy. And I didn't know. I didn't meet the cops. Somebody else did. But what if just for a moment in time, our joy for the Lord was so loud they had to call the cops? So you're going to make a noise for the Lord, right? I want Vine Kids to be wanting to be louder, so Joel and Brett are going to kill me, but it is what it is. It's probably a long list that they could do that. So on the count of three, I just want you to make all the noise you can make before we step in this time of worship, okay? Joyful noise. 1, 2, 3. Yeah! Yes! I'm just kidding. As all the speakers quit, somebody online said, ah! I'm just kidding. Okay, so when you and I share the joy of Jesus with somebody who's stuck in darkness, that's what their heart feels. So right now, as we step into the presence of Jesus, I pray he would remind us of his joy. So let's worship together, okay? Really quickly, the old way, I don't know if you know this, the old way that praise and worship used to be is you always had to lift your hands up. So everybody lift your hands up. We got to do this. All right, I'm going to do this while we pray. Really, you know what this means? This means I'm in full surrender. A lot of times people do it like this, but it means I'm in full surrender to you, God, and you're pointing to where it needs to be. So I'm going to pray really quickly. You know I got a bum shoulder, so I'm going to do it in a good way. So Jesus, again, we receive the blessing that you have for us. We receive the great joy that you have given us. I pray right now that your joy would just continue to overflow in and through us. Right now, many of us are in the midst of the darkness, Jesus, but remind us that you are the light that has overcome the darkness. And as we go into this dark world, Lord, I pray that your light would be so clearly seen upon us that we would be a city on a hill shining bright for you, that so many others would find you and see you through us, Jesus. Let us never forget and always be reminded that you are working all things out as you build your kingdom, and you are working it out for your glory and our good. And if you were done with us, Jesus, we wouldn't be here. So may we walk fully in the plan that you have for us and walk obediently to it. We receive it, Jesus, in your name, and it's for your glory we pray. Amen. You can put your hands down. We can do that. So we hope that you join us next week as we celebrate Christmas at the Vine TV. We'll have a seat saved for you. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.